heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. So glad you've tuned in to be with us today. My name is Patrick Conley, and I pray that you are thankful and rejoicing in the Lord. I find myself grateful today. I'm grateful to our Lord for you, our listeners, for Cammie and Paul and all the people who put the show together, and for Relevant Radio for providing the airtime for Practicing Catholic three times every weekend. And you know what? Gratitude begets generosity. And speaking of generosity, if you've been listening to good old 1330 over this last week, you know that it's Pledge Drive week, and I'm also very grateful for all the individuals, couples, and families that give from their financial resources to help Relevant Radio and Practicing Catholic stay on the air and continue to bring Christ to the world through the media. If you are grateful for everything that Relevant Radio is doing to help others encounter the person of Jesus Christ in our world today, I hope you'll consider joining the family and making a financial gift in support of Relevant Radio. It's very easy to do over at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or you can also give us a call, 877-291-0123. I think you'll find that Relevant Radio is also grateful for your generosity and sees its donors as part of the family indeed. Well, providentially, our gospel lesson for this Sunday, Sunday of the 32nd week in Ordinary Time, is that of the widow's mite. Jesus is watching over the crowd and seeing people put money into the treasury. And Mark tells us that many rich people put in large sums. Then along comes the poor widow. You know the story. She puts in two small coins worth only a few cents. But Jesus uses this as a teaching moment and tells his disciples that she has put more in than all the others because she contributed out of her poverty. Well, what do you think inspired that widow to give so much? To give, as St. Mark says, her livelihood? And how might you and I imitate her trust in the Lord? For true generosity really does require trust. Well, to go back to my theme, gratitude begets generosity. When we recognize that all we have is a gift and how impoverished we truly are without those gifts, the intended result is a shift in attitude from one of kind of like a possessive master to one of a grateful steward. And sometimes the experience of poverty is exactly what brings that out in us. Poverty in material resources, when met with provision, can bring about an extraordinary tendency to share that provision with others, as in our gospel lesson. Similarly, poverty in righteousness, when met with divine mercy, can foster great love and mercy toward others who struggle in sin. And as our verse before the gospel this week reminds us, poverty of spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, when filled to overflowing by the Holy Spirit, can inspire us to live as Christ lives, to be conformed to his image and likeness, and to live always, only, ever to do the will of the Father. So how do we factor these things into our practice of our Catholic faith? Well, we've entered November now, so Thanksgiving is not far away. How about taking some time this week to count your blessings? Actually physically create a list of the things that you're grateful for, and then take that list with you to Mass or to the Adoration Chapel and offer thanks to the Lord. And then next, fueled by your gratitude, respond in generosity and give, even, perhaps especially, out of your poverty. Got another great show coming up for you today. First, we have featured and will continue to feature on the show the many efforts of pregnancy resource clinics to provide compassionate care to women and families facing unexpected pregnancies. But how do these clinics stay up to date on medical standards, develop effective marketing, and network with one another? Patty Rosenau is here to tell us about Elevate Life in just a moment, whose mission is to assist, equip, and enable a network of pregnancy resource clinics. Next, November in the Upper Midwest brings thoughts of shorter days, Thanksgiving feasts, and hunting. Well, where do hunting and faith intersect? We'll talk about how hunting can make you a better practicing Catholic, and we'll swap a few stories with Dave Hrabacek of the Catholic Spirit, who happens to be an avid hunter as well. Finally, where do you most often listen to music? At home? In the car? At work? All of the above? Recorded music is everywhere these days and can be a powerful tool in the work of evangelization. We'll talk with Abe Gross and Connor Flanagan about how they're seeking to harness the power of music for Jesus in founding Dayton Avenue Record Label. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, defending the unborn and standing up for life necessarily includes offering women and families facing unplanned pregnancies the support and the resources that they need. As practicing Catholics, it's always good for us to know of the many organizations and institutions who are striving to do just that, so we can offer them our support, be it in prayer or financially or by a gift of our time and abilities. Elevate Life helps pregnancy resource centers and clinics in 37 locations across Minnesota and western Wisconsin. Patty Rosenau serves as the affiliate support manager at Elevate Life and is with us to tell us more about their important mission. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. It's good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Well, let's start with just tell us a little bit about Elevate Life. Elevate Life. Who is Elevate Life and who do you serve?
Awesome. Yes, so we were started in 1974 by a Catholic nun, Sister Jean Therese Condon. Originally, we're called Total Life Care Centers, and over the years have morphed into the name Elevate Life because that reflects so well what we do. What we're doing is we're taking life and trying to build a community of life in our communities. So we serve 37 locations, as you said, in Minnesota and Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. And each of those locations is their own unique 501c3 corporation that is serving women in a pregnancy resource center. So our role is that we provide training. Last night I was out at one of our centers attending a board meeting to help them figure a few things out. Last week, I was at another center giving a HIPAA training. So those things that we can take the edge off of what they need to know and allow them the ability just to focus on serving the women, but doing it with best practices that we've provided.
Nice. So you are essentially, I mean, I'm thinking of my own life. I mean, I could use somebody like you in my own life who's you figure out these other things so that I don't have to stress out about kind of what is not at the core of our mission, but nonetheless is very essential to the ongoing work of our mission.
Exactly.
And so,
And
go ahead. Yeah, please.
Well, I was going to say, and that is so crucial. You know, there's a tendency to think that a pregnancy resource center is a ministry, and of course it is. Nevertheless, it's still an incorporated business in the space that they're operating in, and therefore all laws need to be followed. And also, many of our clinics are medical centers that are doing medical services, and so all medical policies and procedures also need to be followed. So, and in addition, we're kind of under attack by people that think what we're doing is nefarious, and of course it's not. We're helping people. But we're under attack, and so we have to make sure that everything we're doing meets best practices or even exceeds it. We have to be better than your other medical clinic that you attend for your throat cultures.
Sure.
So what we're doing really matters in terms of not having to reinvent the wheel at each location, but being able to say we have the answers. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, a great resource, I'm sure, for many of these clinics. And do these clinics that you serve, are they roughly all the same size, or do they vary quite a bit in terms of how many staff and what their clientele count is like and that sort of thing?
No, they very much vary. So we have some centers that are way up in northern Minnesota, International Falls, Thief River Falls.
Wow.
They're smaller, always growing, but smaller and so forth. And then we also have, of course, some of the more major centers right here in the Twin City area that people might recognize with Guiding Star Wakota or Abrea Pregnancy Resources, Options for Women East. There's one in Woodbury, sure. Apple Valley. So those centers that you often see show up in the Catholic Spirit, pretty much most of them are affiliated with us. And, you know, we're helping to provide that introductory training when they hire a staff or helping to just help them with policies and procedures they need to operate well. So, they're all different sizes and, all growing, all doing great work. So, yeah.
Right. And let's talk networking for a moment, because I know that that networking seems to me to be something that would benefit all these different mm-hmm. clinics, regardless of how they might differ in and amongst themselves. In fact, that might even provide, inspiration for how each of them can grow. Mm-hmm. How do you facilitate networking between the different pregnancy resource centers and clinics that you serve?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, that it has both shifted and improved and been a bummer through COVID.
Right.
We were offering webinar resources before COVID. I would say COVID changed and everything for a while was just webinar-based. So that the beautiful part of that is even before COVID, what we would do was have in-person, we'd have an in-person training where those who could get here could come in into our center and come in person. But then also it would be in a webinar form going out to everybody. So if somebody was not able to leave their center, they could just pull in online and tune in that way. So then COVID hit and everything went to webinar. And beautiful thing is we were already doing that, so it wasn't that shocking. Now it's interesting as we're coming out of our living rooms a little more, right, and starting to enter the culture again. We have had a couple in-person opportunities, but then we've also still continued the webinar. So we're doing both. But we try to be role-specific. So we have some networking meetings for the executive directors just to get together and meet and swap stories. Of course, respecting confidentiality, but just learning from each other. And then we also have opportunities for boards to meet at times. A little bit less of that because they're so busy. But about once a year, we've tried to offer opportunities for the board members to get together. The client-facing staff, we offer mostly webinars. It's harder for them to get out of the center. But just last Wednesday, we had an opportunity just for networking for client-facing staff to come on. And what are you running into? Where are you bumping into roadblocks? And what can we learn from each other? And, it just was great. So
makes a lot
without
of sense.
That affiliation, they would feel very alone doing their work in their little center by themselves. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you always looking for more resource centers and clinics to come on board with Elevate Life, or are you kind of at your maximum capacity right now? How is that working?
Well, you're asking a very great question. So we are in the process of looking to grow. We want to grow smart and grow well. So we're looking to eventually add on the Midwestern states, so kind of the surrounding states around us. Right now we have some centers in Wisconsin. We want to grow that strategically and add more centers there. And obviously always open for new centers to join us in Minnesota. And then we'll look more at Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, and say, how can we provide what we're providing in those states? So there are national organizations that provide resources as well. The difference with us is that we have a personal contact with them. We literally go into their centers and do on-site training, and we know them by name. You know,
nice.
Sometimes we know their family members' names, and it's just a different level of what we're able to provide. So we want to grow that well in each state and have a Wisconsin office and a Iowan office and a North and South Dakota office that does what we do for those states as well. So that is the dream. Yeah, we want to make that happen. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at your website right now, which is elevatelifeusa.org. And you're already set, right? You've already got the USA there. So you're set at least for until you cover all 50 states. So you're good to go that way. But on there, I see an inspiring message from Bishop Cousins. Tell us about how Bishop Cousins has been involved with Elevate Life.
Well, we are so blessed by both of the bishops. But Bishop Cousins has, attended our banquets, or like he did record that wonderful message for us. He's very aware of who we are and who our affiliates are. I would just say he's super supportive. We had our gala back in September, and he got off of a plane. My understanding is he left the plane at 5:30 and went straight from the airport to our banquet to support us. And we just couldn't be more grateful. So he's been a wonderful, wonderful prayer, source of prayer and support for us. So,
right. Yeah. Well, very good. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure people are wondering right now about how they might either stay up to date with what Elevate Life is doing. I know you do have, events, as you said. You have gala events and other things. What kind of events do you have? I should ask that, I guess.
That's a great question. We have a golf event for those who like to golf, and that happens the first Monday in August. We have done kind of that traditional gala event for the last few years with the banquet, but next year we're really excited. We're going to have a dance at the Landmark Center in November. I think it's November 17th. And so it'll be in that beautiful, looks like a castle, right? The Landmark Center. And we'll have a band. And ideally, if it all works the way we hope, we're going to have swing dance lessons earlier so people can come learn how to swing. And then we'll go into actually having a dance, all adults welcome. And just a fun time to celebrate life together. So that's, instead of the banquet, we're moving into a little bit more fun and relaxed format. And if you don't dance, that's okay, because we have tables that you can sit and visit with your friends. So it should be just a really fun night right before the holidays next year. So other than that, we're still working on maybe a few more things to pull people together for this year. But watch our website, because we'll keep you up to date.
Okay.
So
what about volunteers, Patty? Do you are you in need of volunteers as well?
Yeah. I would say if somebody ever had it on their heart to want to volunteer with us, give us a call and we'll see where your skills fit in. It's always helpful to have volunteers to help us run our events. We sometimes have people in the office helping with things in the office. And even some of our events aren't donor events, they're training events. So sometimes it's wonderful to have someone who might help with the food and serving the food or picking up the catered food or things like that, the staff would not have to do that. So there's various ways to be involved volunteering. Sometimes we're looking for speakers to present on a topic to our affiliates. So if someone has a skill regarding anything, fundraising, working with clients in any way, whatever it might be, give us a call and we'll see how we can use your speaking skills. So there's so many ways to get involved. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me, this seems to be a good way to, if you've wanted to get involved in particularly pregnancy resource centers or clinics but aren't quite sure how to get involved, this might be a good way to just, enter into that, because I'm guessing through Elevate Life, you're going to get to know a lot more about the, not just one center, but perhaps the whole network of centers, or at least a number of different centers that you serve.
So, that's correct. That's correct. So definitely, if people give us a call, we can help plug you in where your skills would be best used. So,
How big is your staff, Patty?
We have 3 full-time staff and 1 part-time. So
okay.
We're doing a lot with very few people.
Yeah, I guess so. I was expecting more than that. I got to be honest when I asked. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, we work our tails off, but we love it. We're called by God to do what we're doing, and He makes it work. So we're really grateful.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. And I assume that having had gala events in the past and that sort of thing, that you do accept donations from others, yeah?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, find out all about this on your website, elevatelifeusa.org. Yeah, if I got that right?
Yeah, That's correct. ElevateLifeUSA.org. And we also have a Facebook page. Probably the easiest way to find that is just go to the website, and then there's a little blue F, you know, when you click on that. And that will bring you to our Facebook page if you're on Facebook. So, and obviously you could contact us through the website, and we'll add you to our email list if you're interested in updates. We kind of keep you in the loop on what's happening. You can get on our mailing list. We send out real nice newsletters that are kind of little mini magazines a couple times a year with updates of what's happening and information about particular centers. And so it's kind of, they're really nicely done, really interesting to read. So,
very good.
Yeah. Feel
and can
free.
You on the website? I'm sorry, I just haven't looked that deeply into it. But can you find out the different centers and clinics that you serve?
Yeah, there is a place where you can find the. I think there is. We have a couple different websites. One is more for clients, and one is more for donors.
Oh, I see.
And I don't work with the donor website myself because my focus is more affiliate support. So
right.
I'll look at that, but I think so. And if not, I'll make sure that gets on there.
Excellent. We're making positive changes right here in the moment. It's happening right here, folks. That's right.
Sorry.
Wonderful. No, that's great. I love it. Well, Patty, I'm very grateful for the work that you do, and thank you for providing this, as I said before, a needed service that, you know, if you don't pay attention to some of the things that I believe you are helping these different pregnancy centers and clinics with, then it very easily could, it could sink a center, it could sink a clinic, and yet I think a lot of people get involved with pregnancy resource centers and clinics because they have a passion for the unborn, certainly, but for women who are facing unexpected pregnancies. And so there's just a lot of motivation there, but they might not be well equipped to handle some of the things that it sounds like you are stepping in and providing. So I want to offer my gratitude.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we do. We have, there is a couple of organizations that their mission is to send in secret shoppers in our centers or phone calls and things like that to try to trip us up. And, you know, then that would become a court case if they're successful. So training, equipping people to make sure that they're always following policies and procedures, then we don't have to worry about it. If we're following our policies, we're safe, and we can just serve women. So it works out well.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, Patty, thank you for the time that you've given us here on Practicing Catholic. Yeah. God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Patrick. Take care.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, do you feel it? That itching feeling to get out into the woods? Well, if you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. But how does faith intersect with hunting? Stay with us and find out.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Yup, it's November, which, here in the Upper Midwest at least, turns a lot of minds and hearts to deer hunting. This weekend is both opening weekend of firearm season in Minnesota and, coincidentally, St. Hubert, the patron saint of hunting, his feast day. How do hunting and faith tie together? Well, for a discussion on just this subject, I'm joined today by Dave Hrabacek, staff photographer and writer for The Catholic Spirit, a gifted journalist and photographer, an avid outdoorsman, and a faithful Catholic. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Patrick. We're turning the calendar to November, and I can't wait to be out in the woods.
Wonderful. Well, it's a great time indeed for that. I have to say, October is my favorite month of the year, so I'm saying goodbye to my favorite month. But November's a close, second or third anyway. So I'm grateful that November is a good and a beloved month as well. Well, let's just start with hunting. So, how long have you been a hunter, Dave?
Well, I've been a hunter all my life. I grew up actually squirrel hunting with my dad and brothers way back in the 70s. And we had a lot of fun doing that. I learned how to shoot a 22 rifle and a shotgun in those days. And then it just kind of went on from there. And the interesting thing is back in the early 80s, my dad approached my brother and I and said, "Hey, do you guys want to hunt wild turkeys?" Well, when I was born, there were no wild turkeys in Minnesota. And then through a transplant from Missouri, we developed a flock down in southeast Minnesota.
Wow.
And my dad just said, "Hey, do you want to try it?" You had to enter a lottery, and we tried a couple times and were successful getting our tags one year. We all just went down there and had a good time. I think we heard one turkey gobble and we saw a couple tracks, but I was hooked for life, and I've been hunting wild turkeys ever since.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I've been turkey hunting a few times myself, and that's one of the things, isn't it, that it's really about the experience. Actually, that's true with a lot of hunting. It's about the experience of being out there, not necessarily just trying to bag the biggest buck or the biggest tom that you can get, but it's about the whole of the experience, right?
Oh, it's about being out there, absolutely. And interestingly, one of the things I love most about it is going into the woods in the dark before sunrise. And I've had some wonderful experiences, like seeing the full moon has been just so captivating. And I've seen the northern lights coming out of the woods at night. And just, yeah, there's so many sights and sounds and smells and experiences being out in nature. There really is no substitute anywhere in our civilized world, right? I mean, we see concrete and buildings, and then to just get out of all that and get into the country and just experience nature as God created it, there's just nothing like it. And I keep going back to it time and time again.
Right. And I think that the experience of nature is one of the huge components of hunting, as I've only actually recently become a hunter. I've not grown up hunting, but since moving to rural Wisconsin, now I'm spending more time out in the woods. And another aspect of it, in addition to all the time spent in nature, is the camaraderie that is formed between yourself and fellow hunters. Now, you said that, Dave, you grew up really hunting with your family. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So I have four brothers, and my dad took all of us hunting and fishing off and on throughout our growing up years, and I stuck with it. And my dad stuck with it into his 90s. In fact, wow, he shot his first whitetail deer at age 89. Camp Ripley up near Brainerd had a special disabled vets hunt, and my dad was a World War II veteran, and my brother and I took him up there. We took turns. So I took him one morning, and my brother took him another morning, and on the morning he was with my brother, he got his first deer at age 89, and I was trying to figure out if that was some sort of record for somebody to do that, but it was just so fun to be able to do that with him all those years, and then to take my kids. I have four kids, three boys and a girl, and I've taken them all hunting. One of my boys still does it. Another one does it off and on. The third one did it a few times and said, "That's enough." And my daughter, Claire, my youngest, she was a one and done. We went turkey hunting when she was 12 years old, and we called them in, and it came time to shoot, and she just kind of got nervous and missed the shot. But we had a great time, and it's just fun to bring your kids out into the woods especially. And I think a lot of dads out there probably understand exactly what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And dads of obviously any age as well. I think that's an excellent story. 89 years old when you get your first deer, your first whitetail. That's pretty amazing. And I mean, it's with all the different aspects to it. And of course, I mean, in human history, of course, hunting has been a way to provide food for, you know, as long as the human family has been around, or at least as long as since the fall of man anyway, it's been around. We're providing food through hunting. But let's take a look at that and tie in a bit of faith and hunting. As I said, it's St. Hubert's feast day coming up. And I know that you have a specific story to tell about how you particularly encountered St. Hubert.
Well, Patrick, as I go back to decades of hunting, there will be one quintessential story that will always stand out. And that happened in 2012. And the year before, 2 years before that, I had taken up bow hunting. So I had been doing that. And as of 2012, I had still yet to take a deer with my bow, but I had been out. And then I went for the firearms opener the first weekend in November. And I just, for whatever reason, wasn't quite able to, as they say in the hunting world, seal the deal, right? So here we are. We have 1 weekend left. It's Saturday and Sunday of the second weekend of the 3A season down in Red Wing where I hunt. And it's Friday. And I'm going, geez, I got 1 weekend left. I really would like a deer. Well, at that time, my son Joe was down in Texas, and he was texting me, and he said, "Hey, Dad, why don't you find out who the patron saint of hunters is, and you know, seek his intercession?" And I thought, "Well, hey, nothing I'm doing is working. Why don't we try that?" So, as I thought about it, he texts me back, and he said, "Saint Hubert." That was all that he said in the text, Saint Hubert. And I'm going, "Okay," so I just started praying to St. Hubert Friday and Saturday. And Saturday was really warm. And as deer hunters know, that's not good weather for deer hunting. It was warm and windy. But Sunday it was supposed to turn. And it was the last day of the season. So my good friend Bernie called and he said, "Hey, Dave, let's go hunt tomorrow." And I said, "Okay." So we went out in the morning, didn't see anything. Then it started raining. And we said, "Hey, let's go in for lunch." So we go in for lunch and we try to figure out, well, what are we going to do this afternoon? It stopped raining and there was a stand that I had not hunted all year. So I said, "Why don't I try that one?" So I went there and I got into the stand about 1 o'clock and I sat there for 4 hours in a 25 to 30 mile an hour northwest wind in my face, getting colder by the minute. And legal shooting hours ended at about 5:15. And I hadn't seen a deer all afternoon. I was starting to pack up my stuff. A little after five, all of a sudden I see a deer way out in the field. And I had a shotgun. And the effective range of a shotgun with a slug is about 100 to 125 yards. There are guys who say they can shoot it farther, but I've never even tried. So I pull out my rangefinder. It's 180 yards. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if this buck's going to come any closer. And in the closing minutes, I might just take a shot and see if I get lucky. Well, all of a sudden, with just 5 minutes left, this buck turns and trots all the way in to about 75 yards. And he turns. I see antlers. I shoot. And I shoot a couple more times. And he goes into the woods. And I didn't really know how big of a deer he was or how many points or anything like that. I go into the woods after I climb down out of my stand, and it's this enormous buck, like bigger than anything I've ever even seen. Wow. I had no idea they got that big. I couldn't move this deer by myself. So my friend Bernie came in, and we struggled to move this deer. It was a beautiful 10-point buck, massive body, biggest deer I've ever taken, and he's now on my wall, and I call him to this day my St. Hubert buck.
There you go.
And so I'm a believer in St. Hubert, if you haven't figured that out by now.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Hunters, take note and start praying for the intercession of St. Hubert right away. Wow, well, what a great story, Dave. And that's, again, a good thing to know about hunting is that there are so many stories that come up. And these stories get revisited year after year after year, which is a wonderful thing. It's an ongoing tradition as part of the hunting ethos. Now, let's talk a little bit too. I know, of course, we have St. Hubert's Parish in Chanhassen, Dave, and you have a connection there as well. Do you want to share that with us?
Oh yeah. Well, several years ago, I discovered that St. Hubert Parish has this thing they do every year right around the Feast of St. Hubert, a blessing for deer hunters, right? And 1 year I decided to go. I had been thinking, well, gee whiz, I wonder what the parish of St. Hubert does about this feast day. And I found out that I think it's at the end of Mass. It depends on who the pastor is. Father Tollefson right now might have his own unique practice, but several years before that, there was a priest there who did a blessing, and they actually have a statue of St. Hubert inside the church building in the narthex. So as you walk through, you'll see this statue, and it's pretty cool. So they had the blessing, and they had a little reception, and I went one year and, of course, got my blessing, right? You can't go to St. Hubert Parish without getting your own blessing. Well, then I discovered there's a woman at the parish who makes blaze orange rosaries. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I have hit the jackpot. So she gave me several because I said, hey, look, I'm going out deer hunting. Can I get one of those blaze orange rosaries? And she gave me a handful and said, pass them out to your friends. Nice. Well, I gave one to my son, who now lives in Chicago, and he's hunting in Illinois now since he got his job there and moved his family up there. And so I gave one to him, and I have one, and I have this little, what they call a hand muff. So you stick your hands in there, and you put the heat packs in there, and then I'll stick the rosary inside there. Nice. So it's like, you know, I've got St. Hubert, I've got Mary. I feel like I got all the bases covered. And it just, it's not only a spiritual practice, but it's very, very enjoyable. And it's fun to connect with that. And I'm so excited to go out into the woods, and I pray for safety too. And it's really a wonderful thing to know that there is a faith tradition you can seamlessly just pull right into your outdoor experience, whether it's hunting or walking or whatever it is. And so needless to say, every year at this time, St. Hubert and I become close friends.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. I love it. I love it. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes remaining, Dave, in our conversation here, but just any kind of closing words that you might encourage other both men and women who are into hunting and how they might see God in a new way in the practice of hunting, or bring God and their faith, their Catholic faith, into the practice of hunting. Any suggestions or tips?
Well, the simplest suggestion is go out there, sit in your stand, because most people who deer hunt do sit in a stand or a blind or even on the ground in a chair. And recognize the opportunity you have for quiet, for silence, for listening to whatever God may want to say to you. I spend hours and hours in a stand, in a blind every year, and it's a wonderful time for thought, reflection, prayer, whatever you uniquely want to do to connect with God, and to just recognize it's an opportunity. And God is with you in that quiet time, whether you get a deer or not. I've had days where I've sat from dawn to dusk, didn't get a deer, and walked out of the woods with a smile on my face. And God is present, and it's a blessing. And I would encourage, especially men who work, who provide for their families, who give and give, to just go out there and let God give whatever He wants to give you in that time of quiet in the woods.
That's a great word of advice from Dave Hrabacek, our staff photographer and writer for the Catholic Spirit, who has been speaking with me today about faith and hunting, some of the beautiful and great benefits of being a hunter and going out and connecting with God in the splendor of His creation. I know that's certainly been my experience as well. Dave, we'll have you back on here sometime soon. We'll talk about some other aspects of outdoor living and how we bring our faith into that. But for now, it's been a pleasure having you join us. Thanks for being with us here on Practicing Catholic.
Well, thank you, Patrick. And I hope that as you experience hunting, you can create your own memories. And hopefully you and I will have much to talk about in the coming months.
All right. Wow. What a great time to talk about these. Well, it's a great experience for those of you who are hunters. And even if you're not, I hope you can appreciate some of the ways that Dave and I were just chatting about how to bring faith into hunting and how hunting can actually inspire us to a deeper faith as well. All right. Well, it's time for another break. When we come back, how a couple of young men decided to harness the power and influence of music to touch this generation with the gospel of Christ through founding a Christian record label. Stay with us.
And he says towards the end of his email, by the way, Drew, there is no God. If there were, and He was a loving God, my aunt wouldn't have gotten MS. innocent children wouldn't get cancer. Stop the nonsense, pretty much what he says. April's listening to us in Minnesota. Hi, April.
I just wanted to comment on that. I have MS. I have back problems. I got so many issues. I've become closer to God through my minimal suffering in comparison to what Jesus did for us. It is only because of Relevant Radio that I know how to recognize how my suffering is a blessing from God.
Faustina wrote one day, "The Lord gave me to understand what unimaginable glory awaits the person who resembles the suffering of Jesus here on earth. I just say to you, suffer well, okay? United to that of the Lord."
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show.
4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Grithium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And once again, if you'd like to support the work and ministry of Relevant Radio during this, our Join the Family Pledge Drive week, please head on over to RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. Your generosity is very much appreciated. Thank you. Well, with the advent of smart devices and streaming services, recorded music is ubiquitous in the lives of most adults and absolutely saturates the world of a vast majority of teens and young adults. With the profound and pervasive influence of music, a fair question is, how do we utilize it for the gospel? One path might be to start a record label, and that's just what my next guest did. Abe Gross and Connor Flanagan, founders of Dayton Avenue Music Label, welcome to Practicing Catholic.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you both for showing up and for being here. Now, I am just fascinated. Let's see. I don't even know. You guys can kind of take this together, but Abe, I'll start by pitching the question to you. Introduce us to Dayton Avenue and what brought this? Where did this even start?
Well, several years ago, myself and Connor got to know each other. We were two local musicians in the area, and we had experienced actually kind of staying in our own quarters of the city. I think that can happen in a lot of different ways where it's like, hey, you do your thing over there and I'll do my own thing over here. And
sure,
we cannot get in each other's way. But a mutual friend recognized what we were doing and said, hey, you two should meet. So we formed a friendship and began to see how working together and helping one another and what we were doing in music could be really helpful. And another friend of ours, Joe Massick, came along and was doing some stuff with music and DJing, and we began meeting regularly a couple years ago just to encourage one another and to build one another up as we were pursuing kind of careers and hobbies in music, and that's grown over the years, and I'll let Connor kind of continue with the story.
Yeah, go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, we were all kind of in our own lanes, like Abe said, and prior to even meeting Abe, or probably around the same time that Abe and I kind of got acquainted, my wife and I were living on Dayton Avenue. So was Abe. And when I was kind of pursuing my own artistry, I had started a company called Dayton Avenue Productions, just simply to, formalize my business. And I had always felt that God was going to do something more with my music than just have it be my music. So I wanted to incorporate under a name that would allow for that. And I made a sweatshirt, I made a logo randomly and was like, hey, this is cool. I just wanted something to identify with. And then as we started meeting, we all kind of started wearing the sweatshirts and was like, hey, maybe Dayton Avenue is going to kind of formulate into this collective of me, Abe, and Joe. And what started as three guys with a huge heart for the gospel and a huge heart to use our gifts and talents, specifically in music, we'd meet for coffee two or three times a month in the morning before our day jobs, just to encourage each other. And that was the humble beginnings of, hey, let's take this idea of Dayton Avenue and make it something that the three of us want to grow and build and we can use to encourage other artists and their gifts as well.
Yeah, that's great. I love it that it has, like you said, to steal your phraseology there, Connor, that it has these humble beginnings, but sounds like it's developed some since then. So, Connor, take us into the next what followed on after that. I mean, I know that you've worked with a number of artists now, and what's going on? What is Dayton Avenue today?
Yeah, Dayton Avenue today, we refer to ourselves as a creative music group, and And it's you know, we use the record label language, but we've moved away from it a little bit just because the idea of just being a record label in today's industry is a little narrow, and we really want to place a high emphasis on using all of our creativity to help launch and pour into an artist. So visual content on social media and on the web, high-quality songs, creative marketing strategies, all of those types of things. Even our live in-person events, we have a plan for that to get to bring a creative element to those. But kind of the step between the coffee shop times and where we're at now is we, Abe and I had started writing together regularly, and a friend of mine, Molly, I got acquainted with, came out to the Twin Cities to write with us. And we wrote a great song. I had released that song, and kind of we saw some pretty good traction with this song, Fire My Father. And Molly came to us and said, hey, I have some more songs that I'd like to record. And Abe and I kind of put our heads together and said, hey, you know, what if we told Molly, like, hey, let's not charge you for this, and let's see what it would look like to sign you to Dayton Avenue. And we, you know, we'd spend, figure out a contract and figure out how long and all the logistics. But we brought that to Joe, and Joe was totally on board. And that was kind of the very beginning of the solidified structure of, like, hey, we're making this thing a record label. We're going to formulate a creative music group and really see what we can do with Molly. And then from there, it's just kind of gained traction with other artists reaching out to us and whatnot.
Okay, great. Abe, what has been your perception of how the Lord is moving and working in your midst as you continue to pursue? Well, it sounds to me like a growing label here.
I have actually been really surprised at the way that unexpected things have turned into kind of core things that we do. So one of those would be what we call a culture night. So Molly is actually from out of town, and she will fly in, you know, once a quarter or so to record, and we shoot music videos with her, and we write together. We have really packed weekends when she's here.
Okay.
And we also wanted to bring our families, because, you know, we all are married guys with kids and wives, and we wanted to make our families part of what we were doing. And so really to bring our wives into it, we thought, the first time Molly flew out, we thought, hey, when we're done, when we've done our whole weekend, why don't we all get together, have some stuff to eat and drink together, pray together, and just celebrate what's gone on. And that was amazing. And we ended up having just a great time of prayer, a great time together. We invited a few more friends. We captured the moment kind of through, you know, cameras and whatnot. And that really turned into this community time that we could invite other creative people into, photographers, other producers, other artists, to come and to pray with us and to eat with us and to spend time together and to listen to new music and to kind of talk about what we're doing in Dayton Avenue. And we started to call those culture nights. And they just were a totally organic thing that grew out of what we were trying to do together in Dayton Avenue. And God really breathed on it. And it's become a huge part of what we want to do, in a way that we can see collaborating with other artists in the cities, is to really breathe into them and encourage them in what they're doing. Whether or not they're directly involved in Dayton Avenue, we can still encourage what they're doing. We can still have a place where they can have a home and where they can have some life breathed in to what they're trying to do, and to have some other musicians and creative people to network with and to pray with and to live life with a little bit. So that's been really cool to see God kind of breathe on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to listening to you two guys talk, I'm a novice when it comes to all this stuff, but just focusing in, I want to get to the, you know, the Christian, the mission part of Dayton Avenue and what's all involved in that. But I think prior to that, I'm getting the sense that there are a ton of things that go into Dayton Avenue and the different things that you're doing. Like, I'm hearing things from, you know, you're talking with artists, you're recording, you're publicizing, you're developing a logo, you're getting some merchandise together, you know, all these sorts of things. Am I right about this, that you're really taking a lot of different angles from this?
Yes. there's a long to-do list.
Okay. And is that pretty typical with a label these days?
Yeah, I'd say labels actually have a much larger job these days than they did in the past. It goes way beyond music, because the music industry has changed so much even in the last 10 years. And
right.
So what we find ourselves doing is, I myself, Abe, am much more intimately involved in recording the music. So everything from, you know, all of us will be involved in the writing process. So we'll get together with some ideas and flush those out together in the same room. That'll go into a recording process. But then the journey is far from done when you have recorded music even in hand that's finished. And that's a lot of where Connor's expertise comes in, so I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, in order to launch an artist from start to finish, you have to have the technical side, the audio, and then, you know, recording the songs. And once those are done, it's like, well, we have to make sure people can hear them and can look at them and can experience them with kind of all of their senses almost. And so, you know, I jump in and lead the charge on the marketing side of things. So video content and, you know, social media kind of strategy around that. And honestly, that's why Dayton Avenue is working, is because when Joe, Abe, and I sat down, all of our skill sets, we kind of like listed it out. And we're like, we think actually the three of us together have what it takes. Like Abe is a crazy skilled producer, and not only producer, but just has like an incredible heart and ear for the technical side of how a song should sound. And I have experience in the artist development space in terms of my own career as an artist, but then also in marketing. And Joe has a lot of experience just in the live music event space, and is just a crazy, powerful visionary. And so when we sat down, we were like, man, I think we have, between the three of us, what it takes to try to get this off the ground.
Right. And then underlying it all, of course, is your heart for Jesus, right? And you're wanting to utilize this for him. I can see that on your Facebook page, for example. We only have a couple minutes remaining, but just kind of in summary form, Connor, we'll start with you. What are you hoping that happens in terms of your own mission, and how are you hoping that the Lord uses Dayton Avenue?
One of our slogans has kind of become kingdom over competition, and Abe and I and Joe have all seen that specifically, unfortunately, in the Catholic music space, there's a lot of competition. You know, people, you know, they get attached to a conference or an event or a gig, and they want to keep it to themselves, and it's kind of, I have to get mine, and we're just trying to dispel that. There's no room for comparison or competition in the kingdom of God, and we're better together than apart, so first and foremost, with Dayton Avenue, we're trying to witness to that spirit, a spirit of collaboration and encouragement, because if one artist wins, we all win. And that's really, I mean, at the heart and core of who we are is what we're about, and that currently is manifesting itself through producing music. You know, we just dropped a clothing line. It's coming out tomorrow, actually, in our online store on Wednesday. And, you know, I'll let Abe, we have some plans, again, to influence the city with music, too, and I'll let Abe talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Abe.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the heart of it, like you said earlier and just there, was, you know, bringing the gospel through music. One of the ways we see that, I've just noticed, you know, if you're out and about on a bus, if you're catching a plane, everybody's got headphones in. Like you said, it's ubiquitous. And trying to do as much as we can with the skills and the gifts that we've been given by God to influence that space really is part of the core of what we're trying to do, is influence that space where everyone's listening to music all the time. And the ways that we can actually go out there into the culture and create culture around the gospel and around what we're trying to do in our lives is really important. And then we also want to do things in the live space too, because it's not just, we want to bring people together. So we're excited to in the future here, be bringing some of the best Catholic artists from around the country that we've gotten to meet and gotten to know. We want to bring them to Minnesota, and we want to create some events around that. So we're excited to start building that as well.
Very good. Well, before I let you go, Abe, why don't you just update us? Where can people find out more about Dayton Avenue and keep up with what you guys are doing?
Right. So you can go to DaytonAv.com to check out that merch line Connor was just talking about. And you can go to Instagram and follow us at Dayton Avenue.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Abe Gross, Connor Flanagan, thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you guys. Continue on. And look to the Lord to fulfill your mission.
Amen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. So it's time for our final break, but don't touch that dial. Paul and I will return in about 60 seconds with some great suggestions as how to deepen your faith this coming week. Stay tuned.
Hi. How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm continuously grateful for Relevant Radio for providing the airtime for Practicing Catholic 3 times every weekend. If you're grateful for Relevant Radio too, please join the family and support Relevant Radio. You can give at relevantradio.com, through the Relevant Radio app, or by calling 877-291-0123. And thank you.
We're getting ready to bid farewell to Bishop Cousins. If you'd like to leave a brief comment of gratitude and encouragement for him, call 651-251-7737. That's 651-251-7737. Leave your name and a short message. Also, note that a massive Thanksgiving for Bishop Cousins' service to the Archdiocese will be on Sunday, November 28th at noon at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Reception to follow. Visit archspm.org/events for more information.
The monks at St. Hippolytus Abbey have been distilling alcohol since its inception. With the onset of Prohibition, the anchored monks are in a pickle. What will they do to maintain their pious way of life? As featured on last week's show, Miss the Boat Theater will be offering the original musical Moonshine Abbey November 12th through 14th and again November 19th through 21st. For more information and tickets, visit archspm.org/events or moonshineabbey.com.
Let it never be said that science and faith are incommensurate. The parish of St. Mark, I don't even know what incommensurate.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Thank you very much. The parish of St. Mark in St. Paul is pleased to host this year's Gold Mass for Catholic scientists, science teachers, and students. Monday, November 15th, 7 p.m., the Mass is sponsored by the Society of Catholic Scientists and will be celebrated by Father Matt Shireman. Reception follows Mass. For more information, visit archspm.org/events.
You could have easily said
incompatible.
Incompatible. All right, that's where we go. Science and faith are not incompatible.
No, they're not.
All right. The Archdiocesan Synod process continues, and therefore it stands in continuous need of your prayers. Each month between now and Pentecost 2022, a different parish in our archdiocese will host a votive Mass of the Holy Spirit and Eucharistic Adoration. Join with fellow Catholics Tuesday, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for our Archdiocesan Synod. Go to archspm.org/events for more information.
Mothers, have you lost an unborn child through miscarriage or stillbirth? Join with others grieving such a loss at a day-long retreat Saturday, November 20th, St. John the Baptist, New Brighton. The retreat includes small group sharing, resource sharing, lunch, adoration, and prayer, and 3 talks focused on praying through and healing from unborn child loss. For information and registration, visit archspm.org/events.
The Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women invites women of all ages to a morning reflection with Liz Kelly Saturday, November 20th, 8:15 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul. She will be speaking on her newest book, Love Like a Saint, Cultivating Virtue with Holy Women. Morning concludes with Holy Mass. Find out more at archspm.org/events.
And what's up next week?
Now, next time, we're going to have Archbishop Hebda back with us for his monthly business bishop segment. Amy Tadlock of the Tribunal Office is more on the new Vatican Synod. And Bernadette Gokowski shares about Known by God, a retreat that offers a chance for healing after miscarriage. All that's coming up next time. Thank you all for tuning in and joining us this time. God bless you. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.